from over there, man. He's down on his knees. Look at these women. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. Century Boulevard.
Reloaded.
Century Boulevard.
Reloaded.
Santa Monica Boulevard.
Reloaded.
Sixth Street.
It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program on the Nova M Radio Network. Hello, L.A. We are live again, once again, on 1150 AM KTLK in the city of... And we couldn't be happier about it. Can't tell you how much we missed our Los Angeles listeners, so jump in and give us a shout-out tonight if you're listening in the KTLK area. The number here is 800-989-1480. And if you're not in L.A., hi. We love you, too. Welcome to the program tonight. I got to ask you, if you're a Huckabee supporter and you witnessed the horror on television this morning. I woke up this morning with Molly climbing all over me and Kathy bringing me a cup of coffee and immediately reached for the clicker to find out who won California, and I see this death and destruction all over the South. And, you know, I live here in the South. We had some rain last night. We had some storms today, but nothing like as it was reported on CNN and MSNBC. It was horrifying. I just couldn't believe it. No damage like that in the South in February since 1971. And I believe more people were killed and wounded or injured last night than any time in the past 10 years from these horrendous storms. So, you know, I had a cup of coffee and I'm sitting there watching this. It was all day coverage. And finally, you know, I had the thought, and I'm sorry, I'm such a cynical son of a bitch, but I had the thought, if you're a Huckabee supporter, do you think maybe God sent the tornadoes as punishment for not voting for, you know, the chosen candidate? You know, I'm just wondering, because Georgia voted Huckabee and we were spared. I don't know. I remember in church when I was a kid, my grandmother pointed out the passage to me, "The Lord works in strange ways, his wonders to reveal." Ah. We have a bit of sound from the White House spokesmodel for you tonight. Speedy Perino speaks. You want to stick around. And have I mentioned that we're back live in Los Angeles on KTLK? I mentioned that already? Okay. What else we got here? I remember Ted Haggard. If you remember, people listening in L.A., everybody else knows this, but if you remember, we usually start, it's kind of like an avalanche on this program. We'll start with little pebbles going down the side of a very steep mountain. I know I shouldn't use that analogy for people in L.A., but we start with pebbles going down the side of a mountain, and the thing just builds up until by the end of the program, there's this tremendous explosion, and it's usually my head. So we start slow tonight. Ted Haggard, remember him? The guy from New Life Church in, where was it, Colorado? Was it Colorado Springs? Someplace in that hotbed of Christian evangelical nuttery around Denver and in Colorado. Anyway, the New Life Church said yesterday that Pastor Ted has prematurely ended his so-called spiritual restoration process that began when he was fired for sexual misconduct back in November of 2006. That's when somebody with a big mouth. Oh, wait a minute. Can I say it that way? Somebody with a big mouth blew. This is very difficult to say this. Somebody with a big mouth blew the whistle on Ted. Heck, this is not coming out right. A former male prostitute let the cat out of the bag. Would that work? That Pastor Ted and the prostitute had a cash for sex relationship, and that Pastor Ted also, you know, liked those little white pills. well, at least methamphetamine. When I was a younger person, different lifetime, we had methamphetamines too, but they were called White Crosses, and we used to get them from truck drivers. What they use now usually comes out of the crap that you find under your kitchen sink, and it's put together in some poor bastard's trailer in southeast Arkansas. Hey, give me another jug of the bleach over there. That's good. God damn, now stand back. Here, got some Drano? And that apparently is what Pastor Ted was using when he was getting it on with his boyfriend. Pastor Ted confessed to undefined sexual immorality. And he said he bought meth, but he didn't use it. Happens all the time, doesn't it? New Life said a written statement the other day that the process of restoring Pastor Ted Haggard is incomplete, and New Life maintains its original stance that he should not return to vocational ministry. Frankly, he shouldn't return to anything. You know, he's a goddamn faggot! Well, I just added that last part. That's not what New Life said at all. Anyway, Haggard and his family moved to Phoenix last year, the spiritual home of the Nova M Radio Network. And as part of a severance package that paid Haggard through 2007, he agreed to leave Colorado Springs and not talk about the scandal publicly. So apparently the money's run out. Either that or Pastor Ted decided he shouldn't give up his natural self, so he gave up the therapy instead. Good move, Ted. Because what you were trying to do in denying your own humanity, your own sexual orientation, if I might, your own you-ness, you were trying to do the impossible. Pastor Ted, I'll tell you what. I've got some friends in Phoenix who might turn you on to some group therapy where you can sit around and claim honestly and proudly your identity as a gay man, if that's how you want to be identified. Frankly, who you sleep with shouldn't be anybody's business but yours and God's. But, you know, you get these loudmouth hookers out there, whether men or women, and next thing you know, hey, I had sex with him. Ah, so tacky. So unbelievably tacky. I mean, if you can't keep your mouth shut, well, there I go again. Anyway, Pastor Ted, get in touch with my program here at the Nova M Radio Network if you are really concerned about how to claim who you are and restore your very mortal soul, only to the extent that you can live your life peacefully. And you don't do that by trying to totally strip away who you really are and pretend like you're somebody else. Poor Ted. Pete in Phoenix sent me an email. Mike, I caught part of last night's show on my way home from a late meeting, and I heard you discussing the survival needs as they apply to conservatives. What Pete's referring to is, I attempted to rip Neil Bortz a new body orifice last night because of his filthy comments about the people who were literally had their lives blown away by the flooding in New Orleans. Neil Bortz is a thuggish bastard who defines right-wing stupidity and selfishness and greed and soullessness. But anyway, Pete writes, I heard you discussing the survival needs as they apply to conservatives. If you consider every conservative position, I think you'll discover fear at the root of each and every one. Conservatives are afraid of everything. They're afraid that no matter how much they have, it won't be enough. They're afraid of everyone who doesn't look and act just like they do. They're particularly afraid that the government will take what they have and distribute it to the starving masses, or worse, to brown or black or yellow people who will then gain ascendancy over them. They're afraid of change. They're afraid of thinking for themselves, lest they arrive at conclusions which differ from that which they believe. And most of all, they're afraid of terrorism and terrorists, and to that extent, the terrorists, whoever they may be, have already beaten them. That's why they're bullies. They're full of bluster to hide their quivering, terrified insides. Pete, Phoenix. Yeah, I thoroughly agree. Scratch any Republican or conservative deep enough and you find a whimpering coward. This is the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. Calamity, ditch of iniquity and
Los Angeles
speakers. It'll be our secret.
Here come the woman with a look in her eye.
21 past the hour. So last night was a very interesting night, wasn't it, huh? The nation's first primary, nationwide primary. What the hell? That's exactly what it was. So when the smoke clears this morning and everybody tries to regain some sense of equilibrium, the reality is it was essentially a tie for the Democrats, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, with depending on how you want to guess how the superdelegates are going to fall, you might say Obama won last night, or all right, but you might say Clinton won last night. But the Clinton campaign had a conference call with reporters this morning, and they said they estimate that neither their side, Clinton's, or Barack's side, will win the delegate count from Super Tuesday by more than maybe 5 to 10 delegates. It was stressed that the race will probably come down to the superdelegates, where the Clinton campaign currently has a significant lead. Of course, the Obama campaign is also claiming to be ahead in the superdelegate count. You all know what superdelegates are, right? It was put into play. This idea of superdelegates was put into play after the McGovern nomination in 1972, because although Senator George McGovern was absolutely, totally, completely, just without a doubt, right in the middle of the bullseye, and everything he said about the pig Dick Nixon turned out to be absolutely, utterly, completely true less than 2 years later, when Nixon had to tuck his tail between his legs and retire to San Clemente forever and ever, world without end. Amen. Even so, the Democratic Party establishment had a total nerve out, because the American people, even back in 1972, were dumber than a sack full of doorknobs and went with Dick Nixon. What did McGovern win? One state? Two? So the Democratic Party establishment, the leadership, which eventually morphed into the DLC, decided, hey, look, we can't allow this to happen anymore. You can't trust these damn delegates. You can't trust these people from Iowa and Oklahoma and California and Oregon to have any sense whatsoever where it concerns the really big issues. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have something called superdelegates. So the little people can dance around and have their caucuses and they can run out and vote on primary day. But we will control the ultimate nominee if we feel that the one the delegates pick is not one that's going to win. So that's what superdelegates are all about. And you think you live in a society that has representational government. Please, please, don't be stupid, all right? We live in a system where every single thing is controlled. Now, there's a way to change that, but we're not ready for that yet. So anyway, the superdelegates include every Democratic member of Congress, all the Democratic governors, former presidents and vice presidents, Democratic National Committee members, and the Democratic National Committee appoints some extra ones as well. So there are close to 800 superdelegates, and over 400 of them have not expressed an opinion yet. The pledged delegates, the ones that were voted on last night in the primaries, they have to vote for the candidate they're pledged to vote for in the first round at the so-called convention, nominating convention, which this year will have more of an appearance of being a nominating convention. But don't forget the superdelegates hanging in the upper reaches of the palm trees, waiting to see if the proles have the sense to pick the person they want picked. And if not, then they come chattering and screaming to the floor of the convention center, tossing bananas and peanuts as they go, and they decide who's going to be the candidate, you see. What? You did think that your vote really mattered yesterday? Well, it matters in a symbolic way, and it matters in a way that is designed to make all of us feel like Kathy and I went over here to our precinct in a, oh my Lord, Baptist church, and we voted for Barack Obama in the primary. Now, we did it on Diebold snatch machines, so we know damn good and well that there's a good chance that our vote went for Huckabee instead. But we did push the little icon on the screen that said Barack Obama, knowing as we did it that the chances of our two little clicks going for Barack Obama somewhere in cyberspace were about the same. We had about the same chance as Bush's corn hydrogen power uranium car ever being whatever the hell it is ever being developed. So what is he called? A hybrid? A hybrid battery car. Yeah, okay. So anyway, not to despair. Not to despair. Even though we all had a good time yesterday and played our roles perfectly, I think we all did. And the geeks on television, all the anchor monsters who, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, they all played their roles. You and I played our roles. We all traipsed out. We showed our photo ID here in the South. Just like the bad old days. Hell, I felt like I was a Negro trying to register to vote for a black sheriff down in Mississippi about 40 years ago. Let me see your pass, boy. Here it is, boss. So anyway, everything turned out to be kind of a tie in the Democratic side. On the Republican side, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Now, regarding the Republican primary, and we're going to move on. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with this. The Republicans, of course, do not have a candidate that the Republicans really like. The rank and file are going for the liberal Republican, John McCain, whereas the Republican establishment, which is the upper tier of right-wing hate talk radio, is going for, I don't know, who they're going for. Joseph Goebbels, let me think a second, Pol Pot, I have no idea, but the one thing they don't want is to see a McCain presidency. And why is that, Mike? Because McCain doesn't necessarily think that Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy should be permanent, and these sons of bitches who occupy the upper tier of the talk radio stratosphere are, surprise, surprise, very wealthy, overweight white guys. With a lot of money. Well, I guess if they're wealthy, then of course they'd have a lot of money. So the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, and some of his clones, some of his wannabes, especially Sean Hannity, the baby Jesus, as we affectionately refer to him here in the Malloy program, these guys are going out of their skulls to downplay, downgrade, and swift boat John McCain. Now, Fox News and Roger Ailes and the baby Jesus were all very much in favor of Giuliani. You're known by the company you keep, but lie down with dogs, get up with fleas. You know, how many of those little adages and homilies do you really want? Giuliani is a thug. He is a thug. Okay, we've established that. So anyone who wanted him elected is, by extension, a thug-ette. And wanted to see Giuliani in office. But Limbaugh, the pig man, the super fragilistic expiala corpulous Rush Limbaugh, the guy who sits there on his Limbaugh cam and bounces like a great
big slab of whale blubber. Blah, 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 blah. Doesn't like John McCain. And I'm not sure why. Yes, I am. Number one, McCain's a veteran. The pig man is a draft dodger. McCain manages to stay married to one person. What else? Can you think of anything?
Well, I have one, Mike.
Yeah?
McCain, even through torture to the point of having his arms dislocated from their sockets, never developed a Vicodin addiction.
That's true, and he does not have a huge suppurating anal cyst that apparently Rush Limbaugh has maintained, nurtured, and fed for the past 40 years, just in case they return the draft. Miserable bastard. So, I digress. The closer McCain gets to securing the Republican candidacy, and let me tell you something, truth seekers, I never make predictions, political predictions, but I'm going to make one. McCain is the Republican Party nominee. If you do the arithmetic, not the math, I know that's a little tricky, if you do the arithmetic, Romney is roadkill, and Huckabee only if God sends a lightning bolt that strikes McCain, Huckabee has as much chance of being president as I do, or your mama does. Okay? Write that down. Malloy said it. McCain is going to be the nominee for the Republicrats. Now, the closer he gets to actually securing the candidacy, the louder the screaming and caterwauling from these huge blobs of blubber called right-wing talk show host, blah, 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 denouncing him as a traitor to the true cause of Ronald Reagan conservatism. You remember that, don't you? Selling weapons to our mortal enemies, funding terror squads and death squads in Central America, driving the United States so far into debt we still are not out. You remember those golden Reagan years, don't you? Huh? So because McCain is not true to the Reagan legacy, the pig man and the baby Jesus and the psychopath savage, and people like Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt's name always reminds me of the first time I got drunk. Hugh Hewitt? But they all are, they're just so pissed off they're turning purple. And I expect fully Rush Limbaugh, on the day before McCain nails it all, Limbaugh is going to sit there on his broadcam, the one with the big lens to fit his corpulent self, and he's going to sit there and go, "All right, I've had it with you people. I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. Hold on a minute. Let me get a piece of paper. Hold on. I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to hold my breath until you dumb sons of bitches decide to vote for Mitt Romney. And I will hold it." And he will. He will do it. He'll hold his breath. And he'll turn all these very interesting shades of shades of color that you don't find in nature. I guess it comes from all those years of doing his OxyContins. And then as he holds his breath longer and longer and longer, those cochlear implants he had will just go ping, ping, and shoot right out of the sides of his head. Ping, ping. And all of a sudden he'll be Rush Limbaugh again. "Hello? Anybody on the radio? I can't hear anything. God damn it, turn it up. Hey, what's the matter here? Hey, Mr. Snurdly, what? Huh?" Jesus, I hate these people. Now, the real acid test for McCain comes tomorrow. Huh? Where he will stand before 6,000 of the terminally asinine at this huge conservative convocation called the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington. That was, remember I got invited to that one time, Kathy, and I wrote the woman back and told her to go F herself, and it immediately went to one of these little geezy right-wing bloggers, and he just about dribbled all over himself because he had something to write about this program. Remember that? Yes?
Do you know that Ann Coulter has been disinvited to this same event for her rather outspoken views on, I guess it was Edward's sexuality last year. Remember the event last year where she said that she didn't know how to say faggot any other way?
Oh, yeah, well. Well, that's you know, we don't mention her name, she who will not be named on this program. But, yeah, I didn't know that. I'm not surprised. So, anyway, McCain will be there tomorrow, and he's going to, it's going to be like an early U2 record, you know, banging on the pots, you know, to get the British out of Northern Ireland. He will be banging on the kinds of hot button issues designed to make the Conservative Political Action Committee conference people just get sexually aroused. You know, things like he'll call for the appointment of conservative judges. Like, what the hell do we have now, McCain? Who are these people? What is John Roberts? What is Sammy the Fish Alito? What is the entire federal bench? What is it if they're not conservative? But the people he will be addressing still believe in a liberal media, too. So, anyway, he'll be banging that drum. He will be banging to let people know, well, I'm going to get a constitutional amendment passed to restrict abortion. No, you're not, John. And the people you'll be addressing don't want that. They just want to jerk around the religious nutballs into thinking that they're going to get their anti-abortion amendment. It's not going to happen, okay? What else are you going to bang on? He's going to underline his credentials as the scourge of terrorists and the one to stand firm in Iraq. Now, this is a guy who went to Iraq. Remember McCain's little walkabout in Iraq? When was it? Last year? And he had like six divisions of Marines around him and jets flying overhead and rockets blazing and ICBMs going, yeow, yeow. And he was covered in body armor from the top of his fuzzy little head to the bottom of his nubbly little feet. And you know, just, I mean, death and destruction all around him, but not in the little bubble that they had him in. So what did he do? He came home and he said to the American news media, you know, it's really safe over there. I stopped at a stall and bought a rug. Jesus Christ, these people. So he's going to make it sound like he is the one to stand up to the scourge of terrorists, the ones who didn't exist until George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the neoconservatives created them. It's alive! It's alive! It always reminds me, you know, this Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. Don't you love that name, huh? Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. Wow, that sounds really legitimate, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. Sounds a lot better than insurgents. You know, nobody cares about insurgents. Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. Every time I hear that phrase, I'm reminded of the Frankenstein movie, the original one, the one from way back in the 30s or whatever. And the guy with the bad hair and the white lab coat, he's going, it's alive! It's alive! That's what Bush and Cheney have done with Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. Oh, Jesus God. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
And with the face of abortion, ask.
He's a fat conservative blockhead.
Hey,
with the face of Morrison.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another
story. I have a face the size of a wash tub. And my ask is as big as Missouri. Yes!
This bastard is sick. He's a fat mom this big, and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, hurry, Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerating truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It's
inspired.
It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm dumb. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, it is. 10 before the hour. Last little bit on McCain here, and then we're going to end the comedy portion of the Malloy program and move on. One of the puzzles about this anti-McCain mouth-breathing and screaming and paper-crumbling that you hear on the Limbaugh program or in the upper echelons of the Republican conservative neo-fascist movement is if you look at McCain's voting record in the Senate, What the hell do these people want? He's consistently, for example, on the issues really important to these morons, he's consistently opposed abortion and gun control. Oh, God forbid we should have gun control. And despite his vote against Bush's initial tax cuts way back in ancient times, that'd be back in 2001, he has more frequently stood on the side of reduced public spending. You know, he doesn't want money going to schools or hospitals or police departments or EMS companies or the, you know, everything gets cut except the military. So what the hell do they want? Ed Pilkington, writing at The Guardian Unlimited today, has this little bit. In 1988, for instance, Reagan's last year in office, McCain supported Reagan 70% of the time and opposed him 23%. Now, if you compare that to the late Senator Jesse, is Jesse Helms still dead? Oh, God. Oh, thank goodness. I thought maybe he, well, anyway. The late Senator, if you compare McCain's record to the late Senator Jesse Helms, who had a great big picture of Hitler in his office, and who was a hero figure for the Republican right for obvious reasons, Jesse Helms only voted with Reagan 60% of the time. So McCain out-Reaganed Jesse Helms. He is still dead, right? Okay. The head of the political science department at the University of Arizona, William Dixon, said McCain is widely misunderstood. Dixon said, quote, he is not that much of a maverick. And he isn't. He's not a maverick. McCain, he's a get in line, stay in line, top down. I was in the Navy. I made a few runs over North Vietnam, bombing and murdering civilians, and I got shot down, and I got tortured. My arms were pulled out of the sockets, and I came back, and yada, yada. Now I'm going to be the next president of the United States, and I'm old, and my face is falling apart, and these goddamn cancers keep coming back, and I don't know what to do, but I am going to be your next president. But he's not a maverick. His maverick reputation has earned him some very powerful enemies within the Republican movement, most notably the comedian Rush Limbaugh. And McCain never denies that either, because it gives him what he wants, and that is the independents and the McCain Democrats. Yeah, there are some, just like they were Reagan Democrats. There's some McCain Democrats. Yeah, there are. But me being so-called maverick, you see, allows him to speak to the millions of American independents and moderates who are repulsed. That means they throw up a little bit in the backs of their mouths by the kind of garbage pushed by the comedian Rush Limbaugh. Poor John McCain. He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. Frankly, he will out-Bush Bush. Anyone who votes for McCain just wants endless war. Endless hard times. You want worms in your hamburger. You want ground up glass in your oatmeal. Why do this? Why do this? Yo, America, or at least the 20 or 30 people listening to this program tonight, why do you do this? Why do you vote against your best interest? I mean, this man, John McCain, it's not that he isn't right-wing enough, like the pig man says. It's because he is way to the right. He's so far to the right, Limbaugh can't see him. And besides, Limbaugh wants some squishy Republican that Limbaugh feels he can, manhandle, like the very cute Mitt Romney, or the exceedingly gullible Huckabee. That's who Limbaugh wants. Oh, by the way, I got it wrong on McCain. Diane says McCain dumped his previous wife for the trophy blonde. And who else wrote in here? Michael in Harrisburg, PA. Mike, you made a boo-boo. As a former Phoenix resident, I immediately picked up on your remark a few minutes ago about McCain staying married to one person. Au contraire. Here's the reference. Before his tour of duty in Vietnam, McCain had married a model from Philadelphia. While he was in prison, she was in an auto wreck, thrown through the car's windshield, left seriously injured. After his return to America, McCain had an extramarital affair with Cindy Lou Hensley, whose father owned Hensley & Company, Phoenix-based liquor company. That is the nation's second-largest Anheuser-Busch distributor. Oh, my God. I think somebody's connecting the dots for me here. McCain and Shepp were divorced in 1980, and he married his millionaire mistress the following month. In 1981, McCain left the Navy, signed his discharge papers the same day he buried his father, Arlington National Cemetery, and the newlyweds settled in her home state of Arizona, where he went to work at the brewery. When Congressman Rhodes announced his retirement, McCain quit the brewery business, ran for Congress. Okay, all right. So he had, you know, he had one marriage, two marriages. All right, that's certainly manageable. I mean, my God, who in America? Don't send me an email. Who in America has not had at least two marriages? Right? It just gets curiouser and curiouser. All right, stick around. I see your phone calls. I'm going to take some calls when we come back. Especially you people who are listening in Los Angeles and want to say, "Welcome back, Mike." Damn right I'm going to put you on. All right, stick around. We have miles to go before we sleep and a whole lot of fun and frivolity coming up, especially when we have on too much Cappuccino Perino here, the White House spokes geek who has given Valley Girls a really, really bad reputation. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for hanging around. Let's do some phone calls real quick. There's some folks who are listening in Los Angeles now that we're back on KTLK in that city. Would like to say howdy, I think. Start with Tim. Tim is calling from L.A. Hey, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Welcome home, Mike.
Absolutely.
Welcome home. I'm so ecstatic. It's great to hear your intro on KTLK.
Hey, listen, spread the word, okay? We're on kind of a tight budget here at the Malloy Program, so it's going to have to be a lot of word of mouth. So get the word out, okay?
Most definitely. Also, send some information out to wearechangela.org.
Oh man, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, and I'm going to send out even more information about your show. Almost definitely.
Super.
So you have quite a few listeners who are listening right now as we speak.
Well, that's good. It would be foolish for anyone to say they don't want to be on the air in Los Angeles, the number two market in the country. We had such a good time when I worked at Air America with folks who, not just people are listening, but KTLK, the staff and some of the other programs there were just, it was a great, great time. And, you know, when Air America decided to cut my throat, rip my heart out, stomp on it, and send me back to the South, that included losing the stations I was on. So we're glad to be back. We're just real glad to be back.
And also, I told a former producer of yours named Linda.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Ecstatic.
She yeah.
Ecstatic.
Linda worked in New York for Air America
right.
And an excellent, excellent producer person.
Oh, I love her. She's great. I met her. She's an awesome person. And I'm going to ask her to work with me to get you out here to LA and do some remotes.
We'll do it. We'll do it. All right. Spread the word. All right, Tim?
I almost something. Well, thank you, Mike.
All right,
welcome
man.
Home.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Take care. Sanchez is calling from Montebello, listening on KTLK. Hey, Sanchez. Oh, Jesus, what's this?
Welcome home, Cotter.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Malloy.
Hey. Thanks, Sanchez.
You know I'm a DJ. I couldn't resist doing that, man.
That's all right. That's cool. I appreciate it. That's really, that's groovy, man. I like that, you know?
Oh, excellent, Daddy-O. Hey, this thing with John McCain that you were just talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think now that right-wing radio, the conservative pundits, are going to be doing about this? This afternoon, John McCain was talking about let's kiss and make up. We're at least trying to agree on points where we do agree. So what is the future here? Because I love this. I mean, not only do we get Malloy back on KTLK, but we're seeing like right-wing radio starting to splinter. They're losing their influence. So I was doing somersaults out in the front yard here when I found out you were coming back, man.
Yeah, I hear. I think here's the thing about right-wing talk radio. The people in the top tier of that miserable cow dung encrusted medium are so immune and impervious to not only the American public, the American political system, and their listeners, they couldn't care less. They need somebody to attack like this constantly. And what they're doing is this is a tactical error on the part of the scum in right wing talk radio. I'll tell you why. What they ought to do is be saving. They ought to be saving their real high powered hate for Barack Obama. Oh my God, he's not white. That gives him all the ammunition they could possibly want. He may have done a drug or two when he was a teenager. So they're wasting all of their big explosives, their neutron bombs, they're wasting on John McCain. Now, like you, I certainly enjoy seeing it because I think it's Republicans, all of whom are nuts, but the Republicans are giving the middle finger to people like Limbaugh and telling him, hey, fat man, your time is through. You're over. You've had a long run. You've been around for 20 years. Get out of town. Go away. Go retire and molest those children down in the Dominican Republic and leave us Republicans alone.
Well, it's been a great day. I love this, but you know, I underestimated. I thought they were going to have. I mean, didn't you think that like all this talk that they've been doing for the past couple of weeks, trying to shoot and tear him down? I must admit, I was thoroughly surprised yesterday. I was stunned. So I don't know. I'm wondering how much more influence they have over this.
Yeah, well, I don't think they have. I don't think they have that much. Sanchez, thanks, man. I appreciate
you. Of course, man. Welcome back.
All right, spread the word. Spread the word. McCain's pickup of all the delegates last night puts him in the position, like we mentioned during the first hour. He's going to be the Republican nominee. There's no question about it. Huckabee might as well pack up his Bibles and go home. And as far as Romney, oh, Christ, give me a break. I can't think of anybody in the entire Democratic and Republican field, starting back at day one when there were like 18 of these people, nobody irritated me more than Romney. I don't like people who come across as self-righteous, as self-righteous as he does, you know. He just so polished up. Like, you know, I wanted him to tell me about the 2 years he spent in France wandering around like Moses in the wilderness doing his Mormon thing, you know, stopping French people. Can you imagine that? And trying to introduce them to the Book of Mormon. Oh, yeah, that'll work. But Romney is so McCain has the nomination locked. I hope, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning when I sit bolt upright because of acid indigestion or something, I sit bolt upright in bed and I check. Yeah, Kathy's still breathing. I go to the bedroom where Molly's still breathing. So I've got a few minutes there where I can just indulge myself in my own night terrors. And I think to myself, what would really make you happy? Quick, Mike, what would make you happy? And I think, well, what would make me happy is if McCain's candidacy causes Rush Limbaugh to just choke to death on his own bile. And hopefully he'll do it live on the air. And when they do an autopsy on him, they're going to say, oh, God, he broke his probation. Look at this. Oh, my God, Jesus, look. Oxycontin? What's this? A Vicodin? What's this over here? Oh, Ativan? What's this? Oh, my God, Valium? What else has he got in here? Quaaludes? Where in the hell did he get Quaaludes? So, what can I tell you? Mike is calling from Long Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I was hoping to be the first, but I'm honored to be the third to welcome you back.
Well, thanks, Mike.
I was listening to KLSD in San Diego, and after sunset, it was really difficult to hear you.
Yeah.
But then they went off the air, so I missed you. Hope you have a good contract so you'll be here a while.
Oh, I have the kind of contract. If they try to break it, I get to kill them all. Not the people at KTLK. I mean the people at Nova M Radio. Yeah, I put the I've had too many contracts. I put in this last one with Nova M Radio. If you try to terminate my contract before the year's 2017, I get to kill you. So I think
good.
They signed it. So I think I'm okay.
Fantastic. Of course, you understand the Kings will interrupt you occasionally, but
what is that?
They're a hockey team. Can you imagine listening to hockey on the radio?
It is a little strange, but
hockey.
That'd be like listening to cricket on the radio, but a lot of people do it. See, so.
But back to the Democratic side.
Yes.
I think Obama would have won California had there not been this early voting.
Yeah, that's my understanding too.
And Edwards got a lot of votes, but under 15%, so all his delegates, all his votes will give, you know, Hillary delegates. So it's a sad situation. I was hoping Obama would take it all, but
it's still tied.
He got a lot.
Yeah, it's still tied. It's just like it was before Super Tuesday. The score is 0-0, and the ball is in play.
I think he'll do better, yeah.
So... we'll see what happens. Mike, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you.
All right. Good to hear you.
Yeah,
thank you, sir. I hope to hear from you again. Excuse me. I'm supposed to hit the mute button when I do that. I'm sorry I keep coughing in your radio. Earlier this week, we were talking about the new book by Philip Sheenon, the New York Times writer, the new book he has out called The Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation. It was released yesterday. And, of course, that book reveals the close ties between the executive director of that commission, the filthy neo-fascist Philip Zelikow, and White House advisors Karl Rove and Condoleezza Rice. Well, there's a call for another 9/11 investigation. This time they're hoping it'll be legit. And guess who is asking for the new 9/11 investigation? I'll share it with you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
It is 21 past the hour. So, yeah, there is a demand request for another 9/11 investigation since the one conducted by Thomas Keene and the other guy. Is so clearly a cut-and-paste job, if not a cover-up of the facts as they really occurred, certainly a cover-up of this filthy Bush-Cheney administration. This comes out in Philip Sheenon's new book that was released yesterday. He writes for the New York Times, titled The Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation. And in the book, it reveals the influence on the final release of that report by people like Karl Rove, Condoleezza Rice, and probably Dick Cheney, and God knows who else, who had on the 9/11 Commission their mole, the executive director, or whatever the hell he was, the political director, Philip Zelikow. And so a request now for a new investigation comes from the Jersey Girls, the widows whose political activism originally got the commission established to begin with. If you remember, Bush and Cheney and the rest of these murderous bastards had no interest whatsoever in having an investigation of the single worst act of terrorism on American soil since white people came over here and started slaughtering Native Americans. So there was to be no investigation, no commission, no nothing. And even when Bush and Cheney, hand in hand, went to testify before this fake commission, they did so with the precondition that there be no notes taken and no oath swearing. And the reason for that, obviously, is because these two sons of bitches wanted to go before the commission, Bush and Cheney, and lie, which is precisely what they did. Why, in the name of God, would the two chief executive officers of the United States refuse to testify under oath regarding an investigation of the worst act of violence on this continent since white people came here and started butchering Native Americans if they didn't have something monstrous to hide? Oh, never mind. Purely rhetorical question. The book also reveals that aside from just one staff member, no one on that investigative panel reviewed what was perhaps the most complete record of pre-9/11 intelligence on Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia, records from the National Security Agency. The Jersey Girls say, quote, General Michael Hayden, who headed the National Security Agency at the time, was eager to cooperate and share what his organization had with the 9/11 Commission, but Executive Director Zelikow said no. So the Commission never got to see any of the so-called intelligence prior to the events that occurred on that hideous day. Now, the Jersey Girls had called for Zelikow to be resign or be fired from the commission way back in 2004, when his ties to the inner, oily, filthy, murderous workings of the White House through Karl Rove were first revealed. And they now say that what is written in Philip Sheehan's book proves that they were right all along. They issued a statement and said, quote, it is abundantly clear that Philip Zelikow should have immediately been replaced when the first rumblings of his impropriety and conflicts of interest surfaced. They went on to say, when all of this information became clear, the commissioners and the press should have called for Zelikow's resignation. We did. Shamefully, most were silent, end quote. Now, you can get this at rawstory.com. It was filed yesterday by Nick Giuliano. Washington Post columnist Dan Frumkin, writing at WashingtonPost.com, says, quote, this isn't the first time it turned out that the 9/11 Commission wasn't getting the full picture. It's not even the second. Bob Woodward, in his book, revealed in the book State of Denial that 9/11 Commission members were not told of a July 10th, 2001 meeting in which then CIA Director George Tenet tried to warn Rice and Bush about the need to focus on Al-Qaeda. But the Bush crime family was all intent on playing Rocket Master and Beast Master and Master of the Universe, and they were going to put in a missile defense system. Ooh, let's put up Star Wars. Remember Star Wars? Yeah, let's put up Star Wars. I know, let's go to the Mars when we're finished. You want to go to Mars? No, I don't know. You want to go to Mars? Yeah, let's go to Mars. What's this, Al-Qaeda? What's Al-Qaeda? Eek. I don't know what that is. What is that, French? Al-Qaeda. Don't know. In another Bush administration example of ineptitude, investigative reporter Ron Susskind revealed that the president's brush off when one of the CIA briefers pointed out the memo Bin Laden determined to strike in the United States. Bush told the panicked CIA briefer who had interrupted Bush's vacation to deliver the warning. Bush said, "All right, you've covered your ass now. Goodbye. I got to go cut brush." Well, don't forget, Pelosi says impeachment's off the table.
But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation. faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Where were we? Oh, that's right. The Jersey Girls calling for a real investigation. The end of their statement, and they're coming out with this, the 9/11 widows, or the Jersey Girls, take your pick, women who lost their husbands in the Bush-Cheney event known as the 9/11 attack on this country. But because of Philip Sheehan's book, Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation, the Jersey Girls are now asking for another investigation of the events of that day and leading up to that day, and probably subsequent to that day. I certainly would like to see that. And they say that Sheehan's book reveals information that, in their words, only scratches the surface of what happened within the government before the 9/11 attacks. Oh, my God, is that the truth, huh? And then they go on to say, the bottom line is that the most deadly attack on American soil since Pearl Harbor remains dangerously unexamined. This can only be remedied with an investigation guided by the facts and conducted outside the reach of those with a vested interest in suppressing the truth. Let me repeat the last sentence. This can only be remedied with an investigation guided by the facts and conducted outside the reach of those with a vested interest in suppressing the truth. That's where we are in this country. That's what the Bush crime family, that's what the Republican Party has done to us. That's what conservatism in the United States has finally led this country to. When an attack that resulted in the deaths of 3,000 people from 60 countries occurs in Midtown Manhattan and the Pentagon and a plane crash in Pennsylvania. When that occurred, this is what the Republican, this is what conservatism has brought us to. When an event such as that occurs, the Republicans, the conservatives, the Bush crime family will not, under any circumstances, let the truth out. This is what Republicanism has done in this country. Have you not had enough? Jesus Christ, have you not had enough? Even you conservatives, you Republicans, are you completely insane that you would continue this madness? I don't care if you vote Democratic. If you can't vote Democratic, do yourself and the country and maybe the planet a favor, and on election day this November, stay home. Don't vote. Why perpetrate this kind of madness or perpetuate this kind of madness? Why do that? Why allow human waste like Limbaugh and Hannity and the Republican Party and George W. Bush and the neoconservatives and the Project for New American Century and all this right-wing horror? Why give them so much of your life? What the hell are you giving back? Is it because you're a coward? Christ, I'll protect you. I swear I will. Send me your name and an address. I'll get one of my guns, and I have many, and I'll come to your goddamn house and protect you. If that's what it takes. But don't vote Republican. Don't vote Republican. Don't perpetuate this. Hung up on that word, both of them. Don't perpetrate it. Don't perpetuate it. Don't do it. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. This has been building since Barry Goldwater had his ass handed to him in 1964, and the Republicans have been frothing at the mouth ever since. They've had their chance. Look what happened on their watch. For God's sake. And they already, the dirty bastards already are beating the terror drum again with an election coming, because it worked for them in 2002. It worked for them in 2004. To a degree, it worked for them in 2006. And now they're going to do it again. Ooh, watch out. Here they come. Here come the terrorists again. Oh, my God. Here they come. And if something does occur in this country between now and November, The fingerprints will belong to George Bush and Dick Cheney and Michael Mukasey and all of these useless, useless Republican right-wingers who set us up in the first place. Don't do it. Stay home. Don't vote. If you're so afraid of your own shadow, I swear to God, I'll get somebody to fill in for me, and I'll come to your house and patrol the perimeter of your property, fully armed, ready to kill any terrorist who wants to come in and rape your wife, murder your children, or do something bad to you. I swear I'll do it. Just stay home. Speaking of Mukasey and some of these other people, there's some stuff here I'm trying to get to a little bit, let's go to your phone calls right now. Let's talk with Prince in Chicago, listening on the internet. Hey, Prince, welcome to the program. Is this Prince the musician?
Yes, Mike, how you doing, man?
I guess not. Yeah, hey, Prince.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, man.
Hey, let me ask you something. How's the band? How's the music? What's up?
Oh, man, no, I'm just playing that name on my grandmother.
Oh, you're not the Prince?
No, I'm not the Prince.
Oh, man, get off my phone. Damn. No, hey, Prince, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing excellent, man. Last night was a really good night for me, seeing my candidate, Barack Obama, do more than what people thought he could do against the Clinton machine.
And isn't it something? He got votes all over, the Northeast, the South.
The South!
I was waiting for Clinton to say he's Jesse Jackson now, but he didn't.
Bill didn't say squat today. But you know what? I've read some of the exit polling breakdown. Get this, here in the South, he even got, sit down, Prince, white men to vote for him.
And not only that, I just read that the Clintons, they had to spend $5 million of their own money to keep their campaign going. And when I heard that news, I got on the internet and gave Barack Obama another $25, making it a total of $100. Because I really feel like I've got to make this dream happen. And even though I make less than $20,000 a year, I feel like this is something that I want to finance and say that I was behind when it happened.
That was
the first thing I had wanted to tell you. The second thing I want to tell you, I want to speak to John Edwards' supporters. Like, I wish they would call that candidate and tell him to get some balls and endorse Obama or Clinton. I hate that he's being a trial lawyer and doing everything perfect in the public view by not endorsing anybody. He's like, if I was walking down the street and I saw two fine ladies, I can't walk up to them and say, you both look pretty hot. Here's my card. Whichever one of you wants to go with me, why don't you give me a call? I have to pick one. And if that one tells me that she doesn't like me, the other one, I can't jump to the other one and say, okay, well, what about you?
Prince, you've just defined yourself as not being a player. Why couldn't you give them both your card?
I've never seen a player be successful in doing that at the same time.
You live in Chicago. Never mind. I hear what you're saying. But I think the real answer is that I think Edwards is doing the political thing. He's holding back to see how this
who
is going to
get into a cabinet.
Well, that or how it's going to play out. You know, maybe he is digging a little bit deeper into Hillary's points of view, digging into Obama's points of view. Frankly, I think it's very clear that Edwards was more closely aligned politically than with Obama than he ever would be with Hillary Clinton. So, but I think it's a political thing. Now, hold on a second. My producer wants to say something.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's not so much that Edwards is playing some kind of political game, is that he knows that the longer he doesn't endorse someone, the more his personal platform issues about poverty and health care will be given a national audience.
I don't believe that. That guy, I'm telling you, he's a trial lawyer. He's used to telling juries what they want to hear, and he knows if he endorses one of them, people are going to start bashing him because he'll become a Kennedy. Everybody start bashing Kennedy when he did Obama. Edwards is looking at this thing like, you know, if I stand back, I can be attorney general on either one of these campaigns.
Well, there's nothing.
I hate this guy, man.
There's nothing. Wait a minute. You talk about my boy until he got out. There's nothing.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with hanging back. There's nothing wrong with hanging.
This is a war. You got to choose one side. You can't be in the middle.
Okay,
it's
but look.
War.
But look, if it is a war, then a sports contest, the score is 0-0, exactly what it was on Super Monday. Super Tuesday showed two things, that Hillary Clinton is very beatable, A, B, that yep. Barack Obama is deadly serious, and the people in America, black, white, man, woman, old, young, gay, straight, are going to back the candidate that they think really represents change, and apparently that's Barack Obama. So I think that, you know, hold your fire a little bit on John Edwards. Let's see what, you know, this politics is all tactics. It's not just get out there and the best person win. If that were the case, we wouldn't have had some of the fools we've had in office over the past 50, 60, 80, 90, 100 years. So
I'll have faith and I'll wait for you and I'll give it more thought. But I'm telling you, if Edwards comes out and supports Obama after he has a 25-point lead, I wouldn't give him any in the cabinet. I'd just tell him, get out of here, man. I didn't need you before. I don't need you now.
All right. I hear you. All right, Prince. Listen, thanks for checking in, man. Good luck with the music. Take care. Oh, wait. No, it's the wrong Prince. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Piggy's life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirts? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play.
Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
It's about 10 before the hour. Alice in Arkansas writes in regarding Prince's phone call. Alice says, why should Edwards endorse the two corporate candidates? His whole campaign was based on holding corporations responsible. And Alice writes, I beg to differ. This is not a war. It's a blanking, woo, Alice, political campaign. Sick to death of it all, Alice in Arkansas. Yeah. But it would be difficult, just like it is difficult to get Hillary Clinton backers to really understand what they're backing and who they're backing. Because so many, not all, so many Hillary Clinton backers are blinded by the fact that A, she's a woman, B, she was a wronged woman, very publicly wronged by her randy-ass husband. And there's an historical moment at hand, if people want to see it that way. So, you know, given what the comparison I went through last night, the other night, thanks to Stephen Zunes, the comparison between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, the amount and ferocity of the emails that I won't call them hate emails, but they were ferociously pissed off that I had the absolute temerity to bring all that stuff up. And the terrible part to me, as someone who pays very close attention to politics, is the fact that everything I brought up, thanks to Stephen Zunes' article, was true. There was no, you know, I'm not Rush Limbaugh. I don't dump garbage on somebody that is all made up crap like the pig man does, the blubbery ass pig man, or these other right wingers. Anything that I put out there is sourced and it's true. The times I do make a mistake, somebody will catch me, and I'll come back either within that program or the next night and say, look, oops, I'm sorry, my bad, didn't research deep enough. Here's the truth. Everything that I talked about Hillary Clinton was absolutely true. Everything that I talked about Barack Obama was absolutely true. As the Stephen Zunes article pointed out, Barack has some garbage that he's pulling behind him, too. Barack is not Jesus Christ. He is not. That's George Bush. Barack is a up-and-coming politician. He doesn't walk on water, and his doo-doo does smell bad, probably. You'd have to ask Michelle about that. But he happens to be, as far as I'm concerned at this point, the candidate who, given what we have to choose, I mean, what are our choices? Don't vote, or vote for a third-party candidate or a different party candidate, which is certainly an option. Or pick one from the field. Pick one of these five remaining candidates. Or take up your guns and put up the barricades and begin the revolution. I mean, what other choices are there here? And I know I've stopped just short of calling for the last one. But there is still time, brother. Remember that banner in the last scene of On the Beach? The who was that? Stanley? I forget who the director was, but you know all the Ava Gardner and Gregory Peck and everybody was there. And at the very end, that banner across the park in Melbourne, or was it Sydney, that said, "There is still time, brother," regarding stopping the nuclear arms race. Well, there's still time, I think, to turn around the slide in this country into corporatism or fascism. It's going to be awfully difficult. And it probably takes somebody like Barack Obama as a president and someone like John Edwards as attorney general. I don't know. I started out supporting Kucinich. Who did you start out supporting? And then I went to Edwards. Who did you go to then? And then yesterday I voted for Barack Obama. Who did you vote for? So, you know. This ain't squeegee, friends. This is American politics in the year 2008, and it is gory and bloody, and we're on the verge, and the American public has a chance here to declare which way they want to go. And I've said it before, if you want to let the good go by because you can't have the perfect, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. I get lots of emails from lots of people who are tired of being put in the trick bag. I'm tired of being put in the trick bag. I busted my ass for the 2006 election. That was one of the reasons Air America was put together to begin with, to try to offset the right-wing talk radio murderous gibberish lies that were out there to effect a change in the Congress. And we did effect a change in the Congress. I don't mean we, Air America. I mean we, Americans, effected a change in Congress. And let me ask you something. What good did it do? Eh? Now, you can say it did a lot of good, Mike. Everything has kind of come to a standstill. No, it hasn't. The Bush agenda is still moving forward, and the Democratic Party leadership in both the House and the Senate are cowards. They're worse than cowards. They're standing in the way of the Constitution. We've said this before. When Nancy Pelosi says impeachment is off the table, that is an arrogant statement beyond belief, because it is not for her to determine. It is for the Constitution to determine. And Bush and Cheney have displayed a contempt for law, the rule of law, the Constitution, to a degree that requires impeachment to begin. So, there is still time, brother, sister. There really is. Time's running out, but there is still time. If Barack Obama and his administration starts us on the process or the path to pulling this country back, this planet back, from its own destruction, well, then what are we waiting for? Huh? Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. A couple of quick emails here, and then we want to share a little bit too much Cappuccino Perino with you and then to your phone calls, all right? From Ron in Briarwood, New York, about the Edwards vote total yesterday, he writes, in one of those unreported stories, John Nichols received 450,000 votes nationwide on Super Tuesday. Rachel Maddow had John Nichols of The Nation on tonight, and he said that Edwards pulled 5% of the vote in Arizona, 10% in California. So there you go, for someone who has, quote, suspended, end quote, their candidacy. And this comes from PT. I don't know if PT is a man or a woman, but anyway, thanks. PT sends in the Wolf in Sheep's Clothing Award. This year goes to the entire Democratic Party. He writes, in an effort to show their differences from the Republican Party, they have stopped the war in Iraq. No, wait. They stopped funding the war in Iraq. No, wait. They investigated the lies and misdeeds taking us to war in Iraq. No, wait. They impeached the President of the United States and the Vice President for taking us to war in Iraq. No, wait. They investigated the misappropriation of money going to private contractors in Iraq. No, wait. They investigated the misuse of power in interrogation techniques, you know, like torture. No, wait. They ensured the rights of American citizens, like restoring habeas corpus, etc. No, wait. They reformed health care. No, wait. They are Republicans. Well, that was interesting. Too much Cappuccino Perino. Spinderella was hit with a barrage of questions on various topics yesterday, and no one asked her the only important question, which is, does she think anything Bush does now is relevant at all? Since he, not only is he lame duck, but you notice how not a single Republican contender, even the ones that were there 6 months ago, will mention this rat bastard's name. He's that irrelevant. First reporter asked about the stimulus tax rebate package Bush wants to magically reverse the recession he's caused with his trillions of dollars in tax cuts and a mismanagement of the U.S. Treasury and his wars. So to atone, he's going to send $600 out. Yeah, that'll help. The reporter said, Dana, you said the Senate was engaging in a partisan exercise with the economic growth proposals. But is it a partisan act if the Senate wants to make changes in the stimulus package?
We understand that they're going to do what they do in the Senate, which is haggle over these issues. But on many of them, we think that they could be, that they are important enough to be discussed, but they should be discussed outside of the economic growth package because they won't be stimulative to the economy.
What?
So, Kerbend, are you saying that they're acting irresponsibly if they change the package?
We're not saying that. We're saying that they need to move quickly, that there's no need for delay, that they have a package in front of them that they could move on, and we're calling on them to do it quickly. They have votes, I think, scheduled for tomorrow.
Damn, Levelips. Is that not quick enough for you fascists? Tomorrow? Okay. Well, I understand, though, that the vote is being held up by the Republicans. You know, the House passed its version a few days ago, and the Republicans in the Senate have decided not to go along with it. I know how much you Bush crime family members hate any deliberation or consideration of your every wish and desire by another co-equal branch of government. Give me a break. You aren't holding any cards today, Dana! You're irrelevant! What does she say? We understand that they're going to do what they do in the Senate, which is haggle over these issues. Haggle? They're not buying and selling goats and duck eggs, you moron. This is the United States Senate. They don't haggle. Jesus God. Haggle? Well, if you discuss issues put before you in your United States senator, you're just a terrorist snuggling America-hating commie or lover of Islamic terrorism, aren't you? Haggle? You arrogant twit. The next reporter asks legally bland about CIA Director Hayden's admission yesterday in a congressional hearing that there were cases of torture of CIA interrogation subjects. An actual admission. Imagine that. So, one of the crack White House reporters asked the Neutron Blonde this. Dana, Can I ask about Director Hayden's testimony on the Hill? He has now publicly confirmed that waterboarding, you know, torture, was used against three Al-Qaeda suspects. He also said that that technique remains in the CIA's arsenal. Why is this not an illegal form of torture?
I have to tell you, Mark, I literally came from a meeting. I saw the press report about this. I didn't have time to follow up on it. I didn't see what he said. I don't know the process from by which it was announced, and so I am going to decline to comment on it until I have more information.
Like, are you kidding me? I mean, like, no way. The big guys never tell me anything about that grody stuff. Like, gag me with a subpoena. Besides, I was getting these totally bitchin' highlights in my hair during that hearing. Aren't they tubular? Like, they totally match my nail polish, whatever. And, you know, I just came from a meeting, Mark, like, with my girlfriends at the mall and everything. So, you know, if I don't have everything together yet, you know, like, I'm doing the best I can. I'm just a girl. but in the meantime, if you ask me questions like that, Mark, you obviously support the terrorists. So, next questions, please. All right. Just for giggles. The last one from Doublespeak Dana here is about the phony UN presentation on weapons of mass destruction made by Colin Powell. Like who's Colin Powell? Was he one of the Thompson twins? Like, I don't know. I mean, damn. The reporter says, Dana, today is the fifth anniversary of Colin Powell's UN presentation on Iraq. And I'm wondering whether you think the intelligence reforms that we've seen since then make a repeat of that kind of blunder impossible.
I didn't realize that was the anniversary today. I'm glad to keep tabs on it. I think there is no doubt that this administration took a lot of input from a lot of different places, independent commissions, including the WMD Commission, to establish reforms throughout the intelligence community, which are working very well. And I remember Fran Townsend at her last briefing here before she left indicated that in her experience, that the agencies were sharing a lot more information, and that was making our nation safer.
Like you know, so much safer. Our nation is so much safer, you know, from these invisible weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, there's Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. Don't ask me nothing about the Bay of Pigs either. I don't know nothing about this political stuff. Why do you think they picked me for the job? I mean, my God, I came all the way over here from the mall. I was getting my hair done. I was getting my nails done. I was getting my toenails done. A nice Vietnamese lady. Oh, you should have seen her. She was just so sweet. There was no intelligence failure, Dana, except among the neocons who promoted the pack of weapons of mass destruction lies. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell spewed out exactly the lies that Dick Cheney ordered him to spew out. He knew it was the Lord of Horse Hockey. So did we. But Colin Powell decided that being Secretary of State and having a job was much better than being not Secretary of State and doing something else. Dana, you are the dumbest ass ever, ever. You are worse than Ron Ziegler. Please, please make this administration end so that too much cappuccino perino will go away. Go away, Dana. Go away. Phone calls. I guess we have a break coming up here, so we will just wait and do some breaks, phone calls when we come back, all right? I guess you've gathered by now, long-term listeners to this program, I cannot stand Dana Perino. I can't stand her. But I digress. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Why should I bother when I look like I look? I know lots of people are smarter than me. But I have this philosophy. So what? Yeah. If he grows up that state and I don't feel sorry for him, cause whenever I look around, all the men ignore him. Cause I'm fun. Don't tell me. Oh, yeah, okay. Stop, Mad Moon, stop! Because I'm a blonde, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I'm a blonde, yeah, yeah, yeah. I took an IQ test and I flunked it, of course. I can't spell me down.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Yeah, baby, 21 past the hour. For those of you who have been paying attention to the democracyforamerica.com website about the progressive candidates who are running for office in the 2008 election, and I've directed you to Nancy Skinner's vote totals there, I'm going to ask you again, if you haven't done it yet, to go to democracyforamerica.com. It doesn't cost you a thing. Just vote for Nancy Skinner. There are three candidates left in this final round of the voting, and there's about an hour left. I guess it's up until midnight Eastern time tonight, so less than an hour. And the candidate who secures enough of these votes, kind of like a primary, will receive a fairly good chunk of campaign money from the contributions taken in by democracyforamerica.com. So in the next 5 minutes, if you don't mind, okay? I mean, this doesn't cost you anything. It's a freebie. Just, if you haven't gone, go to Democracy for America, all spelled out, no numerals, democracyforamerica.com, and vote for Nancy Skinner. She's running in the Michigan 9th District, I believe, against one of these crappy-ass Republicans named Nolenberg that she almost beat in 06 with no help from the Democratic Leadership Conference, because Nancy Skinner is not a DLC Democrat. She's a progressive Democrat. So if you want to see people like that in Congress, you can do something here, and it won't cost you a dime, okay? All right, let's go back to some phone calls, starting with Will in Michigan, who's listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Will, thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to talk to you about some of the work I'm doing here at the state level on legislation in Michigan.
Okay.
I'm working on veterans' health issues because I have a background in the Naval Medical Corps.
Right.
I'm currently writing a draft position paper for the for one of the local peace and justice groups that I work with, and I'm trying to get them to make a public statement about veterans' health issues, and I'm also working on some legislation that's currently in the state legislature to require all National Guard troops in the state to be assessed for post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury before and after any combat deployments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to encourage your listeners to work on similar legislation in their states.
That's a good idea. If there's one thing Republicans despise, it's veterans. Republicans hate veterans.
Yep.
Republicans want to see American men and women join the service, go kill as many of the enemy, whoever the enemy happens to be, and then get killed themselves, so that when the remains are shipped back here, there's no need for any psychiatric care or medical care or VA care or all that other expensive nonsense. Republicans hate veterans. So, I really agree, Will, that people in various states should see what they can do to help veterans organizations. You know, these guys and women now who join the military or join the National Guard or join the reserves are not doing so because they want to go kill Iraqis. They may have some sort of idea that in joining the United States military, they're defending freedom, which under the Bush crime family, they are not. They are destroying freedom. Because they're in a position of acting like a hammer against freedom.
From my experience, I can tell you that half the people who join the military do so out of financial desperation.
That too.
And the other half join out of a brainwashed sense of patriotism.
I hear you. All right. Thanks, Will. I appreciate you sharing the information. Stay in touch, all right? Take care. Oh, I don't think I mentioned it tonight. Saturday night, February 23rd, in Phoenix, we're going to have a blowout. Scott Ritter and I are there for an event sponsored by KPHX and Nova M Radio. We'd like to see it come, especially, you know, now that we have an audience again in L.A. What is it? How long does it take to get from L.A. to Phoenix? Huh? An hour? If you fly, 45 minutes? It's not far. If you live in the Phoenix area, wherever you live, go to 1480kphx.com. Check it out. And if it looks like something you'd like to come and hang out with us about, buy a ticket. They're not expensive. They really are not. I think it's under $15. So do it, okay? It's I'm not allowed to tell you what's going to happen, primarily because I don't know myself. But I'll guarantee you that with Scott Ritter and I there, and given our feelings about what has happened in this country since 2001, and actually prior to that, because Scott Ritter was a weapons inspector before then, it's going to be extremely interesting. So join me and former Marine Scott Ritter, Saturday night, February 23rd, in Phoenix. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Email from Mary regarding the early voting for Edwards, or the voting for Edwards in the primary in California. Mary writes, many of the California votes for Edwards were from people who voted early. I was making calls for Obama and called a number of folks who said they already voted before Edwards pulled out. Some express regret for voting too early. Thanks, Mary. Well, that would explain then what Rachel and her guests from the Nation were talking about all the votes for Obama or for John Edwards. Yeah, there was a lot of early voting. This is from Tom regarding too much cappuccino. Perino, White House press secretary. Tom writes, doesn't Spinderella look like a dominatrix in a schoolteacher outfit, filling in her gaggle of media slaves with the latest in sadistic torture, war, and the rape of our civil society, the selling off of our resources, our Mother Earth into a no-bid death machine, a house of horrors to perpetrate their ghoulish drive to kill bad people? Yeah, they are. They're really bad people. Back to your phone calls. Barbara is calling from Minneapolis, listening on the Internet. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the program.
Well, hi there.
Hi.
You know, I was just thinking that you would have fit in very well with my grandpa and my dad and brother-in-law. The language you speak is quite, what's the word?
Colorful?
Well, anyway, it just fit in. Anyway,
I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, it is a compliment.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Oh, yes, I missed them terribly, and that's why I just love to listen to you, because it, gosh, it sounds like home.
That's great, Barbara.
But I wanted to let you know that between myself and several other women that I know, we voted for, or will vote, if we didn't get to the caucus, will vote for Barack. And it isn't just like that idiotic woman who said she waited all this time to vote for a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really stupid. I mean, that's no reason to vote.
No, it really isn't. I can understand the sentiment, but if we're going to do that sort of thing, then we are condemning this country to a continuation of an uninformed electorate. We've got to understand the issues. If it turns out that the man or the woman or the white or the black or the gay or the straight has the right answers, then that's the person who should get the vote, but not because of their gender or their sexual orientation or their race. I can understand the desperation, but that's
exactly.
Just crazy. It's just crazy.
Well, can I just say one more
yes,
thing? You were
absolutely.
Talking about Mercury one night, and you were saying about how it was when you were a kid and playing with Mercury.
Yeah, we used to take thermometers apart and not realize that we were giving ourselves irreversible neurological damage. But we used to play with it. Yeah.
I know, and then I was thinking, well, maybe that's why I'm the way I am. So I'm not really sure. Not a bad excuse.
that's probably it, Barbara.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to touch base. And you were talking also about the vets and so on. I was just reading on the Internet that McCain didn't get back and was going to hurry up and get to the vote for the economic stimulus package.
Oh, yeah?
However, they didn't make it. And, of course, if he had been voting, all the Republican leaders and he would have offended millions of Social Security recipients and disabled vets had he come back and voted. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, staying away from a critical vote like that is an old political ploy.
You could tell in
sure.
the article.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, yeah. McCain had all McCain had to do is snap his fingers and there would be a jet to take him back to vote, but from wherever he was. But, yeah.
Well,
that's,
they're all a bunch of SOBs and crooks in my mind, and we've got to get our country back. So
I hear you. I hear
you. Yes, and I know you do. And thank you so much for all the entertainment in the first hour. I was laughing my rear off.
Thanks, Barbara. Take care. Take care, Barbara. I wish I would have met your granddad and your dad, too. Trust me. Mark is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike. It's great to have you back. KTLK has finally got some real teeth back in its lineup.
Thanks.
You were talking about 9/11 and a possible investigation. And Hillary, I don't think is either through negligence or maybe even conspiracy, she's not going to do a dang thing about the investigation if she gets in office. She has a history with the King family. When the Kings came to her, it was about 1997, I believe, and asked Coretta Scott King begged them to reinvestigate the King murder because of testimony from about 70 witnesses coming forward, key people who handed the rifle to the police chief in Memphis. Mm-hmm. We're talking a really legitimate case. The Clintons walked away from that, and some people say, oh, well, that was Bill, but if you read Bob Woodward's book, Hillary Clinton was as much a part of that administration as Bill was. That case would have blown the doors off the White House, major figures in our government for the past 40 years. That case would have opened. The King case was closely tied to the JFK case back in the House Select Committee's investigation. Those two cases were joined because there were suspects that were common to both cases. Now, if the Clintons had opened that and gone forward with the investigation, it would have changed the political landscape forever. They are still going to hide what happened with the Martin Luther King case, and they, I doubt, are going to do anything about 9/11. And the CIA is going to continue to go into other countries like they did with Hugo Chavez and try and do these hits on key people just to for political and financial reasons. And if Hillary gets in office, things are just going to continue the way they've been going.
Well, I tend to agree with that point of view. I really do. Mark, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in.
Welcome back.
Spread the word that we're on KTLK, okay? As far as the King assassination, just by virtue of the fact that I've lived in Atlanta for 35 years, I happen to know Marty King III. He's called Marty, Martin Luther King III. He's called Marty. And Dexter, his brother, have hung out with him, have spent time with him, gone to parties, you know, yada, yada, yada. Not because, you know, I'm some big important figure to them, but just by virtue of the fact that we live in the same city and for years have kind of run in the same circles, you know, for a while. I've got reservations about the King family, about a lot of stuff where it concerns Martin Luther King, Reverend Martin Luther King. I really do. But on the other hand, Dexter and Marty King made it very clear that they did not believe the lone gunman theory where it concerned the assassination of their father. They just absolutely did not. And the caller's right. They were pressing the Clinton administration for a deep investigation into what really happened, the Justice Department. And, of course, that just simply did not happen to the extent that the King, the boys anyway, Dexter and Martin Luther III, I don't know about the rest of the family. I never did really get, you know, to know the sisters, nor Coretta Scott King that well. But Dexter King and Marty King did believe that there was so much more to the murder of their father. Now, as far as a connection between King's assassination in 68 and John Kennedy's assassination in 63, and there being common people involved, that's news to me. I hadn't heard that. But I don't discount anything where it concerns terminating with extreme prejudice the CIA expression for political murder. I don't doubt for a second, because I know the history of the CIA, and I know what they have done around the globe in terms of executing people, overthrowing people. They tend to not leave fingerprints if it's an operation like the one against Salvador Allende in Chile. They tend not to leave fingerprints if it's against Diem in South Vietnam, and on and on and on. Sometimes they get caught, and the upper echelon is always covered with plausible deniability, another CIA term. That's why when all of us were going crazy over the release of Valerie Plame's identity as a CIA operative, it always struck me as the height of irony that here a CIA agent who had been outed, remember Philip Agee back in, was it the 70s, outed scores of CIA agents and then defected to the Soviet Union. But all that confusion that some of us felt about Valerie Plame, here's somebody involved in God knows what, and I don't know. It's crazy. The CIA ought to be what it started out to be, an intelligence gathering organization. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour. Thanks to the crew for tonight's program. Our engineer, Ian Huff, who also answered your calls. Billy Foster, our technical director. Ben Birch, podcast manager. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher. And Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Back to your phone calls. Jim is calling from Sacramento, listening on the internet. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey. Hi. Yes, hi.
Right, Jim, right, Holman. Hey, I was trying to, hopefully, I mean, you gave me so much information over the past hour or so. I don't know where to start. I had one point, but what I wanted to say is I'm only second generation from Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was, and my grandfather was very, how can I say it, not blinded by color.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother was, and when I was about 7 years old, my sister had brought, I'm from a big family, of course, mm-hmm. Irish, had brought over a friend, and about 1967, and I remember my sister crying all night long because the friend was black, and my mom said, no, she can't stay at my house, and I'm in Sacramento, California,
mm-hmm.
and asked for the parents to come back home, or take her back home.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
I'm a little nervous, first time I'm calling you, but I've been listening to you for about 4 years now. Anyway, my point is that my dad was very Republican. My grandfather was very progressive in the fact that he was the first Irishman from Ireland mm-hmm. who hired, he was working for West Union Pacific Railroad and hired a black man, and they ganged up on him, but basically said, hey, if he can do the job, if you can do the job better than he can, then you can have a job. And nobody could do the job better than the guy that my grandfather hired. So anyway, being brought up Republican, this last month I drug my feet to the, you know, the voter register, and changed to Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm actually thinking, wow, I'm wondering if the rest of the United States and a lot of the Republicans are maybe doing the same thing I did, but waiting for the primary to finish and then change to Democrat or switch their vote to somebody on the Democratic side.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I've been listening to you for a long time. I came up with a little slogan. It's white or black, do what's right, vote for Obama, or something to that effect. Anyway.
Well, that's let me ask you, why do you think possibly what you suggested might be in the process of happening? Democrats or Republicans waiting until after the primary and then switching their...
Well, you know, for me, for example, I've got, you know, okay, with the economy, I'm doing three jobs. Right now I'm doing web stuff. I belong to a blues band, you know, and mm-hmm. can I plug it?
Spotted
Dog. Spotted Dog, Rock and Bluesy View in Sacramento.
Spotted Dog,
yeah. Uh-huh. Rock and Blues Review in Sacramento, and we're doing real well. We're playing in Sugar Bowl in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Anyway, the thing is that I'm here. I work for the state of California. I do really well, but I'm also having to work two or three extra jobs just to make ends meet.
Sure.
Taxes are higher. Gas is killing me.
Right.
Anyway, but for me, it was seeing the young girl walking away from my house crying when my sister's only, now she's passed away, but my sister, you know, I was only 7, she was maybe 15, and her friend walking away from the house crying.
Yeah.
That my mom would send her away because of the color of her skin. But, you know, now it's, I'm like, you know what, I want to be a party of inclusion, not exclusion. And so that's why I switched.
Well, That does make sense, Jim. It really does. And as far as the economic issues are concerned, remember the old saying, as snotty as it might be, if you want to live like a Republican, vote for a Democrat. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you checking in. We got time for one more call. I think we do. Donna is calling from Portland, listening on KPOJ. Hey, Donna.
Yes, Donna. I'm here.
Hi.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome to the program. Don't listen to your radio. Listen.
No, I've got it. I'm turning it off.
Okay.
Am I going to be on your show on Malloy? How do you do this?
What?
Am I on Malloy's show?
Yes, Donna. This is Mike Malloy.
Yes.
And you were on hold, and I answered your call and said, "Hi, Donna. Welcome to the program."
Okay, I'm happy to be on.
Yes.
But he's talking a lot and upset about the pig man being mad at McCain.
Okay, Donna, I'll tell you what. Let's chat again, because I don't think you understand. You're talking to me. Oh, well, we'll get you next time around. Thanks, Donna. I appreciate you checking in. I really do. Gary is calling from Seattle, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing? Is this Mike?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mike, I'm a first-time caller, Democrat.
I had two questions concerning Hillary.
Okay.
First is that she goes off the experience of 35 years. Now, I know she's a woman of about 50-something years old, and the math just doesn't add up. Can you explain that 35 years in a 50-year lifespan?
Well, no, she just turned 60, and when she talks about her 35 years experience, she's going all the way back to her political activism after she got out of college. When she was at Wellesley, she was a Goldwater girl. She was actively worked on behalf of Barry Goldwater. And then I guess through her exposures at Wellesley, she's written a biography. There are a couple of biographies out there about her, one or two of which are really not poisonous screeds like so many of them. And you can get that information in there. But I think the 35-year thing is pretty much right. Gary, I got to leave it there. I'm sorry, pal. We'll talk again when we have more time. Thanks for checking in. And thanks to everybody for participating tonight, however you did that. And once again, welcome, KTLK in Los Angeles. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.